Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church. We are so glad to have some people in person with us today. I have just a few announcements for you. A reminder that we are meeting every week now in person. Please call the office by 3 p.m. Thursday to reserve a spot, but I want you to all know that there is plenty of room, plenty of safe, socially distanced room. We also share our condolences with the family of Jay Taylor. And I wanted you to know that there are no services planned as of yet. Lastly, Hope was contacted just last week by a person from New York State who would like to rent a room to be close to her mother, who is hospitalized at Grace Acute Long-Term Care on Blaine Avenue in Bedford. Her mother is entering a fourth month of recovery from major surgery. She would like to support her mom, reduce the expenses from motel stays, and relieve her brother, who has been doing daily 60-mile drives. She is COVID vaccinated and is thinking that she would stay from Sunday night to Friday morning every other week, spending her days at the hospital. If you would be interested in renting a room to her, please contact the church office. And with that, let us calm our hearts and our minds as we listen to the prelude.
Good morning, family. We're going to get into worship. Stand if you're able. Great and loving God, thank you for bringing us to worship.
Open our hearts and minds to receive your grace.
Give us the deep and certain knowledge that you have saved us from sin by the sacrifice of your beloved Son.
Give us a ready ear and a grateful heart to answer Jesus' call.
Give us a share in the suffering of Christ.
And a taste of joy of his rising from the dead through Christ our Lord.
Amen. We will have a hymn, Christ is Risen, number 307. Remain standing if you're able.
Christ is risen, shout hosanna, let the praise go.
and prayer together. O God, for our redemption you gave your Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection you delivered us from the powers of our enemy. Grant us so to die daily from sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his resurrection, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We will now have a silent prayer. Open up your heart and your mind as you pray for concerns. Matthew 12:25 states, every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Let us change the atmosphere and unite as one house and go into prayer. Let's also welcome the Holy Spirit to come in and join us as we pray for the Taylor family, the Barlett family, Barb Dark and Buddy, and the individuals that assist them. Betty Johnson, Don Harvey and family, Colleen Kane and family, Ruth Trust. We also will continue to pray for the congregation. We're going to pray for the world, that God open up eyes and ears so they can hear and see what they need to hear and see during these trying times. We will continue to pray for our brown brothers, our military and their families. Pray for the President of the United States along with the individuals that he's surrounded by. Let's pray for peace. Let's pray for love. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for understanding. Let's pray for compassion, empathy. Let's pray that we can get through this pandemic without losing any additional lives, like we did at the beginning of this pandemic. Let us continue to see the Lord as he guides us through and teaches us what we should know, what we need to know. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just do the Lord's Prayer as we were taught together? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Stand if you're able. Hymn number 355, Death of Mercy, verse 1 through 4. The children message, Nancy Hoffman.
Good morning, everybody. I bought something special at the store this week. It's a can of air. Now, air seems like a pretty funny thing to buy, doesn't it? But sometimes you want to clean something that's delicate. Maybe a computer, keyboard, or computer parts. Maybe parts to a camera. And this can will blow air in and blow the dust and dirt away. And that way you don't have to touch anything with your fingers. You don't have to scratch anything with a cloth. So I want you to watch. I'm going to let some of the air out. Do you see anything? I didn't either. You don't think they sold me an empty can of air, do you? They might have. I'm going to try it again. Still didn't see anything. But I did feel it on my hand, so I know it is in there. It blew in my hand. Another example might be in the fall when you see people blowing their leaves to the curb. You know they're blowing with air, but you don't see the air. But you do see the leaves moving. Or maybe someone in your family blows their hair dry. Again, you see the hair moving and you know the hair is drying, but you don't see the air itself. And perhaps the best example is our body. Because we can take in a big breath of air and our lungs get bigger, they expand, and then we let it out and they get smaller again. We don't see that air, but we know it's going in. We can feel it going in and we can feel it going out. Like air, some things we just can't see, but we know that they're there. In this week's Bible story, Jesus came back to his disciples after his death. But when this happens, one of his disciples, Thomas, is not present. So when Thomas comes back to meet with the other disciples, they tell him Jesus was here. And Thomas says, I don't believe you. I won't believe you. I have to see it with my own eyes. Now, eventually, Jesus comes back, and Thomas does believe. But Jesus reminds him of something very, very important, something that you and I have already learned. Sometimes we just have to believe things that we can't see. We have a special name for that. It's called faith. God's love is sort of like air, isn't it? It fills us up, and even though we can't see it, we can feel it in our hearts. So as you go through this week, I want you to remember that sometimes the things we can't see are the most important. Will you pray with me? Dear God, sometimes it's hard to believe in things that we can't see. But like the air, we know that you surround us with your love. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.
Lesson 1 comes from Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. The time is coming, declared the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judea. It won't be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant with me, even though I was their husband, declared the Lord. No, this is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my instructions within them and engrave them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will no longer need to teach each other to say, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declared the Lord. For I will forgive their wrongdoings and never again remember their sins. May God add a blessing to these readings.
The scripture lesson today comes from John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the disciples had gathered together in the upper room, and fearful of the Jews, they had locked all the doors in the house. Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be to you." Then he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said again, "Peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me, so now I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive a person's sins, their sins have been forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when the Lord came. The other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see the nail holes in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nail and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the room, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Take your finger and examine my hands. And take your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt. Believe." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Do you believe because you've seen with your own eyes? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and believing may have life through His name.
I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy the blessed assurance gives. He lives, He lives, who once was dead. He lives, my everlasting head. He lives to bless me with His love. He lives to plead for me above. He lives my hungry soul to feed. He lives to help in time of need. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives, my kind, wise, heavenly friend. He lives and loves me to the end. What joy the blessed assurance gives. I know that my Redeemer lives.
In this story from John's Gospel, we see that the resurrection is about peace and about forgiveness. The risen Christ breathes on the disciples so that they might receive the Holy Spirit and forgive others. And then we see Him forgive Thomas for his doubts, just as in the next chapter of John, Jesus will forgive Peter for his betrayal. Beloved, there is no limit to the peace of Christ. And there is no limit to His forgiveness. There is nothing that you have done that Jesus did not forgive on the cross. New life comes through forgiveness, through the cross. Forgiveness is not one thing on the list of 100 things that we do as followers of Jesus. Forgiveness is the thing, the crucial, central thing that we do as His disciples. At the Last Supper, John tells us that after Jesus washed the disciples' feet, He told them, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, love one another." This is how the world will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And how is it that Jesus loved us completely, freely, willingly, absolutely? He loved us with an amazing grace that keeps no record of wrongs. And what is it that proclaims to the world that Christ is risen? when we forgive others as He has forgiven us. Now, friends, let's not be confused about forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean that the way that someone else treated us was right. Forgiveness is not excusing it. It's not overlooking it. It's not giving someone a pass. What they did was wrong. It hurt. It broke something. It ruined something. They treated us in a painful way. And there's nothing wrong with telling someone that. And secondly, forgiveness is a process. Jesus does not demand that we forgive. He breathes His Spirit on us so that we are enabled to forgive. And when the Spirit of Christ enters us, then we are on the journey to forgiving other people as Christ has forgiven us. Sometimes my beginning for forgiveness is to say, I'm not ready to forgive, Lord. I don't want to forgive. But I'll ask You to make me ready to forgive. And sometimes that's the first step. Today I want to look at what it means to forgive and forget. Because I was confused about this for a long time. And then I had an operation with scars. And it taught me something about forgiveness. Back when I was pastor in Parma, I had minor knee surgery for a torn meniscus. Now, the scars are absolutely tiny, so you can barely see them. But after the surgery, the doctor told me there would be 3 stages to my healing. First, I would feel the pain and I would limp. I would favor that knee. Then he said the second stage was that the pain would be gone and I would be able to get my strength back and I'd go running again. But finally, he said, would come the third stage. And someone would ask me, well, what knee did they operate on? And I'd have to think for a minute to figure out which one it was. Now, you see, I've not forgotten the operation. And I've not forgotten that it was painful. I didn't like those weeks when I couldn't go out running. But here's the wonderful thing. I don't feel the pain anymore. It's gone so completely that I have to think about which knee the surgery was on. When Jesus appears to the disciples after the resurrection, He still bears the scars from being crucified. And that's how they know that it was Jesus. Because He bears the wounds of pain and betrayal and death. The crucifixion is not forgotten. Jesus doesn't have amnesia. But He's resurrected. The pain is gone. And so holy forgiveness and forgetting is not that we forget that someone wronged us. The holy forgiveness is that we no longer want to hurt them back. We're no longer carrying a grudge in our heart. And the holy forgetting is not that we don't remember the events. The holy forgetting is our heart doesn't hurt from them anymore. The emotional pain has lost its power. And what our heart has forgotten the hurt. Beloved, this is the new life. This is the resurrection that we can live through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus heals our emotional pain so that we're no longer carrying it, no longer stuck in it, no longer rehearsing it. Early in our marriage, Livy and I were badly hurt by a member of the family. It went on for a number of years. And years later, I realized that I was holding on to that hurt. I was rehearsing it. I was feeding it so it wouldn't go away. And Jesus dealt with me about that I needed to take the next step in forgiving. Not to forget that it had happened, but to let go of the hurt, to stop feeding it. And He opened a door for me to give the hurt to Him. Not because it didn't matter, but because He loved me and He understood me and He had the power to heal that hurt in my heart. And sometimes holy forgiving and forgetting can only happen when we're in the presence of Jesus. When He is with us, and when His love is pouring over us, when the light of heaven is shining on us, then His power can make it possible for us to let go of being wronged, to forgive and forget. Jesus has forgiven the people who have wronged us. And sometimes that doesn't seem fair. Several years ago, I was betrayed by people I trusted. They lied about me. They accused me of stealing things. They had other lies about me. And they had been my friends. And it tore me apart. And this time it wasn't that I was holding on to the hurt. This time it was the hurt was holding on to me. And I had anguished talks with Jesus in the middle of the night. Lord, how could you let this happen? This isn't right. How could you let me trust them when they were going to behave this way? I had never felt hurt like that before. And it had a grip on me, and I felt like I would never be able to shake it. And then came that moment, after nights of crying out to God, and I felt Jesus' presence, and He said to me, I know what they did, and it was not right, but I hope you understand that they weren't doing it to you, they were doing it to me. Now that may not make any sense to you, and I'm not going to try and explain it, but when He said that, I knew it was true, and the weight and the anger and the evil and the screaming mess in my soul was gone. My heart forgot the pain. Not the fact of being hurt, but the power of the hurt to keep on hurting me, that was gone. And after that moment, whenever that pain tries to sink its claws back in me again, I'm able to leave it behind and not be torn up by what happened years and years ago. Beloved, when we trust Jesus and surrender to Him, His Spirit comes to live in us. By the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, old hurts are overcome. And this is what the risen Christ offers you. If you have wronged someone else, Jesus has forgiven you. He wants you to be free of feeling guilty and hating yourself. He forgives you And He wants you to forgive yourself and forget the pain. And when you have taken care of that, then He will probably ask you to go and apologize and make amends and set things right. And if someone else has hurt you in a small way or a great way, Jesus is ready to give you His Holy Spirit so that hurt loses its power over your heart. Jesus does this because He loves you. It's a gift. It's a free gift because you are valuable to God. Beloved, forgiveness is not optional. It's not extra. This is our life with Christ. This is the resurrection. It's how He lives in us. And it's one way that the mercy of the cross flows to the world. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank You for the gift of Your forgiveness and for the new life that You offer us. Lord, let Your peace rest upon all who are listening. Let Your presence be with them, that they can feel You standing at their side. Let Your love flow through them and let the light of heaven shine on them, that all things that need forgiveness would receive it, and all hurts that need healing would find it. Come, Holy Spirit, come and bless the people who have Jesus as Lord. We pray in His name. Amen.
Stand as you able, hymn 389, Freely, Freely.
Thank you.
not doing church as usual. The offertorio, you can leave as you exit the sanctuary. There is a basket outside in the narthex for you. We will now have the doxology, hymnal 9-5. Together. God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you, not with our words only, but with our whole lives. Amen. Go in peace and love, remembering Jesus Christ has risen for us all. Also, be safe during your daily activities. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's do our benediction response, because he lives. Postlude.